Well, let's start with prayer. Dear Lord God, we are here this morning, Lord, and we thank you for this awesome day. It's a beautiful morning. But it wouldn't be a beautiful morning if it wasn't for you. We're here before you, Lord. We want to hear from you, and we thank you for allowing us to be together here before you. We want to hear from the Holy Spirit. Just, Father, minister to us. Lord, the words that I read and the words that I speak, I want them to be from you and not from me. Father, I ask that every person here would get something out of this that they can use today, tomorrow, and in the months to come. It needs to be a positive thing. It's awesome to know we're going to heaven, but we need to have strength here also. So, Father, just speak to us and strengthen us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to talk about today is a subject I've spoke on many a times, and I want to do it again. A lot of stuff bears repeating. And I don't know how many of you here worry about things, but I'm a worrier. It'd be better to say I'm a warrior. That'd be probably a little cooler, but I'm a worrier sometime. And a lot of us are. And I want to speak a little bit about that today. And I want to read out of Matthew chapter 6. It starts, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" It's pretty basic. Scripture tells us, don't worry. It doesn't do any good. Don't worry. I mean, it's easy to say. I can stand here and just keep repeating it. But saying it and doing it is two completely different things. It applies in most anything. I mean, it's just like saying I ride motocross. Saying it and doing it, just two different things. And that's how worrying is. But let's read the next verse. It says, "Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" There again. No, it's not going to add to our life. Actually, the doctors have proven that it shortens our life when we worry. So it does the exact opposite. It doesn't lengthen our life. It shortens it. That's not cool. So where did we go with that? I mean, it's so easy. You know, a lot of stuff is easy said. It's always easier said than done. And I want to read a little bit more scripture. It says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." He's saying, man, just check out the beauty around you. You know, we can take it past the flowers. Let's go to the Grand Canyon and go look at it. Or go look at some mountains. Go look at the Alps over in Europe. And how awesome all this stuff looks, you know. And God did all that. And he's saying, well, if I did all that, what can I do for you? You know, it goes on. It says, "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" See, God knows that our faith is not as strong as it should be. And, you know, sometimes we do really good, and then other times we don't do so good. But our faith is never where we want it to be. It really shouldn't be. We should always seek to get closer to God. We should never be happy. It's just like, you know, I like to compare things to riding. You know, we're never happy with how fast we ride on the track. We always want to do better. And it's the same thing with our faith. Our faith should, you know, get stronger. But God understands that it's not always strong. How do we strengthen our faith? How do we talk ourselves into not worrying about things? Well, let's read the next verse. Because I don't think we can talk ourselves into it. But let's read this next verse and see what it says. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." In other words, what do we need to do? We need to put God first. We need to seek Him first. If we put Him first, He says all these other things will be added to it. Basically, what it amounts to is we need to get our mind off of our worries. It doesn't do any good. If you lay in bed at night trying to go to sleep, and you got something that keeps going through your head, and it's just, man, I can't, you know, this job that's going on tomorrow is just driving me crazy, or I got a test in school tomorrow, and it's driving me crazy. You just can't seem to get it out of your head. So what's the best way to get it out of your head? Well, think of something else. God says, think about me. He wants to be number one. And if He's number one, He says, I'll take care of number two. And it goes on in verse 34. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, that's the other thing. So now we figured out to put God first and that we need to focus on Him, because that will take care of our problems. But then He says also to help you also, don't worry about tomorrow. Let's worry about today. Now, He's not saying don't plan for tomorrow. You know, like, don't spend all your money today, and in 30 years when it's time to retire, you're broke and you don't have any money, and then you try to live on Social Security that may not exist, or, you know, wherever you want to take this. It doesn't say don't plan, but it says don't worry about it. You know, it's just like people worry about meteors hitting this earth. See, for me, that's an easy one. I know there's way out of my control, so I don't have to worry about that. That's an easier one. But I do actually know people that think that's a big deal. Ain't nothing they can do about it anyway, so why do they worry about it? And we don't know when that would happen anyway, in 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, if it did happen, I mean, we don't know. So let's concentrate just on today, look at what's ahead of us today, and we're going to do 10 times better or 100 times better than we do if we try to worry about everything that's coming up. But I don't think this scripture that I read, verse 33, I want to read it one more time. It says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It just doesn't just apply to stuff. I mean, it applies to life in general. If we make God first, things get better in our life. There is a scripture that says, in this world you will have trouble. So I'm not one of those preachers that's going to stand here that says, you know, if you follow Jesus, you will never have problems again. That ain't going to happen either. Sorry, guys. If you follow Jesus, more likely you will have issues. I mean, you're going to be struggling with what's right and wrong, or when you don't follow Him, you don't have to worry about that all so much. And there's things that you're going to struggle with, but now you got somebody next to you helping you. You know, the Bible says, put my yoke upon you and your burden will be light. A yoke, you real young ones probably may not know what a yoke, what they're talking about, but like when you put two horses together to pull a wagon, they had this yoke, they tied the two horses together where they could pull together. And, you know, the Bible uses that as an example for us. And if we yoke up with Jesus, our problems won't go away necessarily, but He will help us through them. Because He's going to be there with us, pulling for us. And that's what makes being a Christian great. You have resources to draw off of. Besides the fact that God loves you, He also takes care of you. I want to read one more verse here. It's out of Psalms 34. It says, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. It doesn't say everything's going to be rosy and everything's going to be never another problem. But it says, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. He will guaranteed take care of us. And whether we want to apply that to our worries or whether we want to take it through through other things in life, it applies. And that is a guarantee. So what's the conclusion? I mean, it's a pretty short message, and sometimes we don't. I don't feel like I have enough time to detail stuff out like I'd like. But at the same time, short messages can drive a point home too. So, what's the point? God's got to be first. That's number one. We need to seek Him first. And if we do that, it will all work out. That's a promise. But if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it just ain't going to work. To become a child of God, the way the Bible says it, and I know that's Christianese, I guess we could call it, I am a child of God. I'm His son. How did I become His son? I became His son by believing that Jesus came to this earth, which is proven in history, believing that He died on the cross, which is also proven in history, and that He raised 3 days later and is now in heaven preparing a place for me. Well, the fact that He's raised is proven in history via the Bible, but there's a lot of people that don't want to believe it, and they can choose to do that. That's not my job. They can believe what they want. But those of us here that hear me, I hope that you do believe that He did that. And if you believe that and you ask Him into your life, you will be saved. And being saved, like I said in my prayer at the beginning, it's awesome to be saved and know we're going to heaven. But a whole bunch of us got a lot more years to live. You know, I may be in my 50s, but I got a few years to go, I hope. So it's nice that I know that I'm saved, but I also need to know that I can live here and that I'm not going to worry every day about what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's the whole point of this message. Let's put God first, remember what Jesus did for us, and life will be better. And with that, I would like to close. Dear Father God, we love You. We thank You so much for the fact that Jesus was willing to come here on this earth and die for us to pay for the sins that we can't pay for. And because of that, we can spend eternity with You. But we also thank You for the instructions You give us for everyday life here, because we're not ready to come see You today. We're still here, and we don't know how long we will be. And I just ask that You would just draw us near You, strengthen us. The people that don't know Jesus yet, knock on their heart to where they know they need to make a change. And if they want to make a change today, Lord, You're there. You're waiting. We just thank You so much, Father, for everything You do. We thank You for a beautiful race day. We're getting ready to go riding. And Lord, we know You don't mind us riding and having a good time, but You want us to do it for Your glory and not ours. We thank You so much in Jesus' name. Amen.